Well, good afternoon, folks. This is the agriculture show where it's 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and I hope everyone's enjoying their ride home. Today's agriculture show, we have a great guest. We have Trevor Hurley. Hi, Trevor.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm lovely. I'm glad you could make it here in time and take part of our show.
It's good to be here on time.
And, you know, we're going to talk about agriculture in Warley Region. We're going to talk about play a bit of music and do some announcements and do some other stuff there. So we are looking for some more guests to show up. And so we'll get things started. We'll just play a tune here for a bit and wait for get our wheels and gears and all that stuff in motion. And, well, we'll see you in a bit.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans told Cornbread, you ain't straight. Beans. You better wake up or I'll gas you gate. Beans. Been in this pot since 2:30. Beans. Swelling and puffing and almost due. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
That's what Beans told Cornbread.
Beans.
Don't always get mad at me.
Cornbread.
I ain't mad at you.
Cornbread.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
Grab Cornbread by the toe. Beans said, Cornbread, let me go.
Beans.
Cornbread said, I'll lay you low.
Beans.
I'm gonna fight you, so and so.
Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
That's what Beans said to Cornbread. You're so bad, you always want to fight.
Meet me on the corner
tomorrow night.
Now
I'm gonna beat the devil out of you.
Meet me
on the corner tomorrow night.
Beans
hit Cornbread on the head. Cornbread said, I'm almost dead.
Beans,
Beans told Cornbread, get up, man.
Beans.
You know that we go hand in hand.
Beans and Cornbread. Beans and Cornbread, hand in hand.
That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
Cornbread.
We should stick together,
Beans,
hand, in hand.
Hand in hand.
We should hang out together like wieners and sauerkraut.
Beans,
we should stick
Cornbread,
together like hot dogs and mustard.
Beans, Cornbread.
We should get up
Beans,
every morning
Cornbread,
and hang out together
hand
like
hand
sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night, we should hang out like chitlins and potato salad.
Yeah.
Like strawberry and shortcake.
Yeah.
Like corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Like liver and onions.
Yeah.
Like red peas and rice.
Yeah.
Like bagel and lox.
Yeah.
Like sour cream and Benson.
Yeah.
Like bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like hotcakes and molasses.
Yeah.
Beans, toast, cornbread.
Yeah.
It makes no difference what you think about me.
Yeah.
But it makes a whole lot of difference what I think about you.
Yeah.
We should hang out together like hotcakes and molasses.
Hey.
That's what Beans said to Cornbread. Cause Beans and Cornbread, they go hand in hand.
Well, it's Thursday afternoon, and we're here at CKMS on Sound 100.3 Sound FM. And today I have with me a guest is Trevor Hurley, and I think probably, Trevor, you guys probably produce all that stuff out there at your retail, that stuff at your place out there.
Different kind of beans.
tell us, Stu, people a little bit about, what you're doing out there. You're involved in many things. Tell us about your family business first.
Sure. So we are the second generation running Hurley's Country Farm Market.
Mm-hmm.
We started out around 1964. Was more when it was established by Howard and Elsie Hurley out of their garage along Herb Street there. And Howard and his family used to go to the Kitchener Market years ago.
A lot of our listeners will know that place.
Yeah, and then what they would do is bring back the produce at the end of the day that they didn't sell, have it in their garage, and anybody on their way home would be able to pick stuff up. So as it happened, it just got busier and busier along the side of the road, and then they felt the need not to have to go to the Kitchener Market anymore.
Yeah.
So that started, and then so in 1988, the decision was made to either build a parking lot to get people off of the road, or to build a market.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to make the jump and start the market and start the building.
So your family operation was on leading edge of initiatives that became popular nowadays, which is the public's interest in local food. Organic is one brand, a local food, and of course we'll get into the discussion a bit more about your other hat you wear in your business. But isn't it something how you were there before it became popular, the idea of buying stuff from the farmer directly or through that local connection?
I mean, I think that idea has been around for a lot longer than than we were doing it, or mm-hmm. that Howard and Elsie were doing it, and the whole local food movement has just really glamorized the farm
word.
And yeah, that's a word. Thanks. My limited ag vocabulary there on that.
Well,
one.
We're all amongst friends here. That's okay.
So yeah, no, it's been great, and it's wonderful to see the business grow over the years, and definitely see the consumer support. Mm-hmm. Our community is just absolutely wonderful here.
Yeah. Well, we're very lucky, and mm-hmm. We're so lucky with this agricultural broadcast to have a reach out to our urban neighbors, and we hope we can provide some education to our urban neighbors put a face and a name to some of our local farmers and what we do and what we do in the countryside. Farming is a very important part of our area. It's I think last census, so $400 million worth of. Well, you read the same story in the Kitchener Record, mm-hmm. and you and I were very it was great to have, we were quoted in that thing, and we really appreciate our local paper's interest in farms, Vikings Farm. Greg Mercer was the reporter and did a great job of looking at the numbers and so on. And
definitely,
I've seen in my lifetime, and I haven't been here that. Well, I've been here long enough. It wasn't like Fred Flintstone was my neighbor or anything, nowhere near though. But
yeah.
Any impressions when you think of that article? What would you?
I think, if anything, it's encouraging. Yeah. It's encouraging to mm-hmm. see the drive that our urban center here has for getting out into the country, getting to know their farmer, getting to know their farm, getting to support the agricultural community. Mm-hmm. Not just us that grow vegetables, but those of us who are growing, who have beef farms, and the interest is there. The rural schools take an interest in their agriculture,
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. No, it's great. Like I said, I'm glad you came out today. We with this program, like I say, attempting to have a dialogue with our urban neighbors. And so today's show will include a few more songs, of course. We'll have a few announcements from prepared by our local Ontario Minister of Agriculture and Food Office. And also, Gord Grant, who was here in our first show, has sent along a short MP3 file from the Ontario Federation. So, folks, you're at 100.3 Sound FM. We'll get back to talking to Trevor again about the other hat he's wearing. And in the meantime, we're just going to spin another tune here. And I think on behalf of one of our guests here, we'll play a song about chickens.
Chickens.
Everyone's talking about chicken. Chicken's a popular word, but anywhere you go, you're bound to find a chicken ain't nothing but a bird. Some people call it a fowl. That's the story I heard. But let them call it this and let them call it that, a chicken ain't nothing but a bird. You can boil it, roast it, broil it, cook it in a pan or a pie. Eat it with potatoes, rice or tomatoes, the chicken's still what you got. Boy, it was a dish for old Caesar, also King Henry III. But Columbus was smart, said you can't fool me, a chicken ain't nothing but a bird. We'll be right back. Eat it with potatoes, rice, salt, tomatoes. Chicken is still what you got, boy. It was the dish for old Caesar, also King Henry III. But Columbus was smart, said you can't fool me. A chicken ain't nothing but a bird.
Hello, folks, we're back. That song was A Chicken Ain't Nothing But a Bird, and that was by Cab Calloway, a fine artist from way back in the 40s and 50s. So you're at 100.3 Sound FM. This is the Agriculture Show. I'm your host, Jeff Steger, and with me today as a guest is Trevor Hurley from the Hurley's Market on, what is it, St. Agatha Road? What do you call
that? Herbs Road. St. Agatha, yep.
Yeah. And boy, we're lucky to have Trevor here today because he can wear many hats, as we alluded to in the last time. After a brief history of how his operation started, I'm going to ask Trevor to talk a little bit more about a part that our urbanites might know a lot more about, and that's Foodlink.
Sure, yeah, Foodlink started about, we're in our 11th year now, mm-hmm. and Jeff, well, you were on the board mm-hmm. back in its inception there, and so I don't know, we're going strong in the region here, and seem to be the go-to organization in the province. Mm-hmm. We seem to have quite a track record.
It seems to me they always get calls from other jurisdictions about how did you run your Foodlink program?
And that's right. So yeah. we've licensed the brand yep. to 11 other counties throughout the province. Mm-hmm. We've licensed the Buy Local, Buy Fresh brand to a place in Newfoundland and one in and one in BC. As well, too. So,
just in case our listeners don't know, tell us what Foodlink is. It's
Foodlink's a grassroots promoter of local food.
Yes.
Within our region, so we connect basically the consumer with the farmer, with the farmers, with the restaurants and the wholesalers, and vice versa. We provide the Buy Local, Buy Fresh map every year that people can access and. Mm-hmm. and you know, plan their Saturday shopping, whether it's going to the market, whether they want to go and visit a farm yep. each day. And with that, we have all that information on our website, a state-of-the-art searching tool, which we're very, very proud of. And now we're in partnership right now with Communitech in downtown.
Something new.
Downtown Kitchener, yeah. And we're in the midst of taking that mapping technology that we've used
yeah.
and putting it on a platform in the form of an app that people can use on their smartphones. So we're about 2/3 of the way done it right now. Hope to have it all yeah. wrapped up and launched for when we do our map launch in May mm-hmm. this year. But this will be something that's not even done in Ontario yet. Yeah. So and we've got going to have it right here in the region. So it's a great partnership with Communitech as well.
Congratulations to you. And I don't have to remind our listeners, you're president.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, as you can hear, they've had a great history and still leading mm-hmm. edge on a lot of these things. And in case your visitors don't know, our station listeners don't know, this is a way for the consumer to make a connection with the actual producer of their food. And there are a large group of people who really want that type of food connection.
It's a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to trust where your food's coming from. So if you have that relationship with your farmer and you can put a name to a face mm-hmm. and a face to a food, mm-hmm. boy, oh boy, that's, you know, that weighs quite a bit on your comfort level. And to know that farmer, you know, if it's safe for that farmer to eat, mm-hmm. you know, and feed his family, mm-hmm. then it's going to be safe for my family too.
Now, the Federation of Agriculture represents all segments of agriculture, and our job here is not to contrast one type of food with another. They're all good, and we leave the consumer up to make their own decision on what is good for them.
Exactly.
Boy, living in Warley Region, we are lucky. We can have the best of both worlds.
Yep.
If you want to buy a special food, different, unique, you can do that. If you need to have something quick at the grocery store, which is safe food, mm-hmm. it's all graded by the government. It's safe.
Yep.
But you can have the luxury, or whatever, or if you, in some people's case, they want that.
It is a luxury. Yep. It is a luxury to be able to drive out to the farm like that and buy directly from that farmer. Yep. The taste of buying something fresh picked that day.
Everyone will agree with that.
will make a huge difference. Huge difference.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, our partnership, our relationship that we've had with the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture has been an enormous support role, not only with, you know, our map launching and of any kind of event. And, you know, we get a lot of questions from people that we can't answer. So, I mean, you're our go-to organization to help us with those issues, and definitely been a major supporter.
Well, this is good to hear. And Trevor, I'm so glad you came in. I think what you do and our listeners who are participating in FoodLink can make the connection now that this is one more aspect or facet of the agricultural scene in the Waterloo region. We have large operations with the latest in high-tech gizmos and the like, and we also have a type of production that's probably more on a scale that people are familiar with. So, you know, we're from in our countryside, we can still see small 100-acre farms, and that's seems to me that's quite pleasant thing to have.
It is.
Yeah,
which is quite amazing. You know, we've got on our map, there's 73 listings of farms that you can go and buy things from in our region.
Mm-hmm.
I think which basically equates to 10% of the farms within our region.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
which was quite a significant number of farms.
And you know, it's funny, we're looking at the latest census data, and it was showing like about 10% of the members. I guess they only called for those persons who are organic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small subset.
Yep.
Of the local food movement, but
it's a very powerful set as well too.
Just before we go on to our next break here, I remember reading somewhere that there's about 20% of the population that has the presence of mind or financial means to buy a unique brand. And the brand would be organic or local or something like that. I think where are we at now? I think we're at about, what's the organic saying, about 10 or 15% market that they've gotten?
I'm not too sure on the numbers.
Okay. So there's
I know it's growing.
Yep.
It's growing all the time. Yeah, definitely.
I'm curious, what sort of things are people asking for now when you when they come into your store? Anything new? Are they looking for, passion fruit or something?
Well, passion fruit we can't grow in Ontario, so that's the big thing.
Yeah.
One thing I did last year with our followers on Twitter, which was quite a fun experiment, is we were getting to the point where we were needing to order our seed for next year.
Yeah.
And I threw it out there, and a couple of people responded back and said, what about edamame?
Oh, yeah. And that's the soybean, isn't it?
That's a soybean.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to us farmers, you know, why on earth would you eat a raw soybean? It just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I spent the winter, you know, going to some of these sushi restaurants and that and ordering edamame.
Yeah.
And we had it, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It's kind of neat. Like, you harvest the whole plant green,
yep.
and so the fruit, the soybean pod,
yep.
stays fresh because
yep.
it's hooked up to the stalk.
Yep.
And over time, you clip off half a dozen beans and put them in your salad.
That's right. Yeah. Or what we were doing is, so back to the story, what happened is I ended up ordering about 100 pounds of seed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, throughout the months and that, it got more and more. People have started to get a little more excited about it. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness me, I don't think 100 pounds is enough seed. So I ordered 200 pounds of seed and that. And so we grew it this year. And, I mean, our kids were asking for it every night.
Uh-huh.
So we just boil the pods, add some salt to it and that, and they just pop the seeds off before bedtime. It's so healthy for you.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely incredible. So it was really neat. So, I mean, there's another product we're going to grow probably again next year. We're able to access a lot of fruits and vegetables here in our region.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know, other than growing some tropical fruits and that, which we'd love to do, but we can't do, we make do, right?
Or some fool thing, right?
Yeah. It's, I think more or less it's knowing what we can get here in the province of Ontario and knowing what's in season and maximizing maximizing how much we can eat of it or how much we can store, mm-hmm. how much you can put away for the winter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just a matter of taking the time to do that, which is difficult.
Yeah, we keep on talking a long time, but you know, I think regional public health is working hard to actually teach people, for lack of a better word, how to cook again.
Yeah.
To make people, we all like the convenience of buying in the store and everywhere you go and you microwave or heat it and the way it's done.
Yeah.
But it's also true that there are some values in preparing your own food, and it's how to educate people and what vegetables when, what cuts of meat, what all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a lot of farms that are getting that message. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of our partners in the Old Order community, you know, are starting up these kitchens and that, where they can freeze stuff, they can can stuff, and they're doing it on a much bigger scale, mm-hmm. Which is great. And then what they're doing is they're providing that product back to us so that we can provide the retail outlet for them. Mm-hmm. And that's something we do as a family too, is, you know, we work with these farms. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pears, peaches that are grown not too far away from us here, you know, are canned locally, and then we can retail them locally. So it's all staying very, very close to home, which is just, it's a wonderful thing. And then, yeah, you know, I know at the end of our season and that, people do stock up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That it is, it's, we're creatures of convenience, definitely.
Well, let's play a few more tunes. Let's play another tune here, and we'll get back to Trevor and talk a little bit maybe about the one last event that Food Link does, which is to eat local, eat fresh.
Sure, yeah.
I got the right...
Taste local, taste fresh.
Taste fresh.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, so let's go back. We'll play another tune here. We did listen to Chicken Ain't Nothing But a Bird, and with beans and cornbread, so now we're going to listen to one by Fats Waller, and you'll like this one, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
yourself go.
Holy smokes, folks, we're back. Apologies, that wasn't All That Meat No Potatoes. That was Party Till the Cows Go Home by Albert Castiglia. I seemed my playlist didn't seem to go. Obviously, it's the operator, not the playlist's fault.
That's all right. We don't have that problem with the tractors.
Yeah.
It's not the operator.
That's true. Well, folks, it's you're at 100.3 Sound FM. This is CKMS Radio. This is the Agriculture Show, Thursday afternoons on your drive home, or listening on your internet, or listening on Rogers. So, Trevor, welcome back again.
Thanks.
We thought we'd talk a little bit more about one more aspect of FoodLink before we go, and that's the Taste Local, Taste Fresh event. And if you want to tell us about that, then I'll next after that we'll have a little short report from our member service representative Gord Grant. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Tell us
sure.
about Taste Local.
So Taste Local started up about 9 years ago. We started. What we do is we pair local farms with local restaurants and chefs, and the chef will take a product from that's produced on the farm and create something that has a wow factor to it.
Yeah.
And it is just unbelievable what some of those chefs come out with. And we had about 21 participants last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the big fundraising events that we do hold for FoodLink. Since we are a nonprofit, it's a big fundraiser for us.
Yeah. Did you guys accept charitable donations as a nonprofit? How does that work? It just occurred to me that.
No, they're not charitable. We can't issue tax receipts for those.
Right, okay. That's curious.
Yeah, unfortunately. But anyway, so this was the 9th year. And it's held about the third week of September on a Sunday afternoon. And the last number of years, we've held it out in St. Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a wonderful partnership with the Township of Woolwich. And they're excited
to... supporters, aren't
they? Yeah, very big supporters. Yep. And they're hoping to have it again next year. We plan to have it there again. And so I think there were 21 different tents set up.
Mm-hmm.
So 21 different farms and restaurants paired up. So, I mean, you're filled to the brim.
Yeah.
Stuffed and of all different kinds of foods and get to taste those and meet the farmer and meet the chefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it provides a great relationship.
Was there music again there this year?
Live music, yes.
Okay, because I wasn't out this year, but I was there the year before and the year before that. And we were just lucky with good weather, beautiful afternoon. Beautiful food smells and music playing in the background.
Yeah.
The afternoon.
9 years, the third week of September, we've had absolutely beautiful weather every single year. Now, this year we fall on the heels of the plowing match and in Waterloo Region, and we'll be right after the plowing match, and there's never any good weather for the plowing match. So we'll see how we do this year. Hopefully the weather will break for us again.
Oh, it should be good. Well, that's good, Trevor. We'll carry on some more aspects of our show here. Maybe I'll get you to do some more stuff for me, being it's just you and I doing everything.
Sure.
So, but I think first thing we'll do is, you mentioned about the International Plowing Match. Folks in Waterloo Region, we are hosting the International Plowing Match. It was here last in 1995. Really big shoe down there in Roseville, the township of North Dumfries. One of our fine supporters in the Federation of Agriculture. Well, we mentioned Woolwich and Wilmot Township's an excellent sponsor of our events for the Federation.
Yeah.
Our hats off to them. So that plowing match coming up in the third week of September in the village of Roseville.
Mm-hmm.
And come on down and see that. Okay, so let's go back and hear from our member service representative, Gord Grant. He can't be with us today, so he very kindly sent along a 3-minute little mini radio show, and hang on to your hats, folks. We're going to play that right now.
Hey, Jeff. The Ontario Federation of Agriculture puts out a commentary every week, so I thought this week's commentary might interest some of our listeners. It's Deborah Pretty Stradoff, the recently elected Vice President of Ontario Federation of Agriculture, commenting on keeping watch over Canada's economic outlook. Here's Deborah.
I recently attended an event where a panel of chief economists from Canada's top five banks presented their views of Canadian and global economic prospects for 2012. While the calendar has changed, the same can't be said for the general economy. Their consensus was more of the same. Canada's relatively strong economic position due to the strength of our financial institutions and years of deficit fighting still faces modest growth prospects in the range of 2 to 2.5%. Poll results were also released that revealed Canadians' views on their economic prospects for 2012. In general, Canadians are pessimistic about the economy and their own financial situation. They have little faith that sound decision-making in Canada and abroad will improve their financial situation. Consumers fear our fiscal debt, taxes, user fees, and inflation that will erode their standard of living. Their concerns over political risk are echoed clearly by the economists, that a lack of sound fiscal decision-making in the United States and a lack of leadership in addressing the sovereign debt crisis in Europe has the potential to devastate our economy and our individual prosperity. The Ontario Federation of Agriculture has recognized this tenuous economic condition. We will be advising our governments accordingly as they develop their budgets for the coming year in the midst of this fragile economic situation of low consumer confidence, high debt, and moderate to low growth. Our advice will be simple. Make intelligent investments and practice good government. We know that prudent investment in agriculture, in bankable risk management programs, in research and environmental stewardship pays dividends. Smart investment in infrastructure will stimulate the economy and support growth in the agriculture and agri-food sectors, which are leading economic engines in Ontario. Good government means ensuring that regulations protect the public interest while supporting and encouraging rather than stifling economic activity in the agriculture and agri-food sectors. As the OFA refines the details of our submission to government, we invite members to offer their strategies for economic recovery. Together, we can advocate for supportive, economically stimulating measures in the budget to secure a brighter and more sustainable future in Ontario and across Canada. This is Deborah Pretty Stradoff, Vice President, Ontario Federation of Agriculture.
So, Jeff, there you have it. The ag industry is plowing forward steadily and strongly despite economic situations elsewhere, and certainly OFA is doing everything it can to keep that happening. Members are welcome to go to the Ontario Federation of Agriculture website and put their input in there. That's www.ofa.on.ca. And just out of curiosity, having visited that site recently, I noticed that today's poll is, are you concerned with the economic outlook of our country? And our members going to that site, 97.3% said no, they're not concerned. Over 1,000 members put that response in. So, hey, farmers are optimistic. There you go. Bye for now, Jeff.
Well, thanks, Gord, for doing that. That was a novel way of running a radio broadcast. There are numerous ways we can put this show together, and I just want to thank Gord for his help so far. He was very kindly shortened our first broadcast and put it on the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture site. So if you folks would like to hear a short version of our first show, go to the Ontario Federation website and look down through the list and find the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture website. And on there are various news items from our region and also a short piece of our farm broadcast here. So you're at 100.3 Sound FM. This is your host, Jeff Steger, and my guest today is Trevor Hurley. And I've decided to invite things to put him to work, and he's very diligently going over top of some facts and figures here. And I'd like to mention a few more things about our local federation. We have our own website. The Fly Match is coming up. The federation had their annual meeting last Thursday at the Wilmot Recreation Center, and we had reports on our upcoming MPP visits, and we have two MPPs we want to visit with post-election with some agricultural issues. We've been lucky enough to have contact with two of them. And for those who are listening out there, I'll send an email. Unfortunately, our meeting tomorrow, it's Friday afternoon, January 13th, is canceled, so I'll send you out something tonight. But we have those MPP meetings coming up. Our president, Ken Hunsberger, is on the local source water protection committee and gives us a report every month about the implementation of the recommendations from the Waukerton Water Inquiry. Gord Grant spoke about member services, and very much this is last Thursday, it's 2 hours after our show, he had already prepared the small audio that we have now on the website. OFA Director Mark Reeser also spoke at our director's meeting. His plate is full. His responsibilities include three local federations, that being Waterloo, Wellington, and the guys up north there. And he had brought to us information from the Ontario Federation about resolutions that were adopted and accepted at the annual convention last November. And Jerry Horst brought along his newsletter, and I see Trevor's been looking over the sheet there, and if he's got some listed there, there's a lot of information in there. I just asked Trevor quickly to have a look at some upcoming announcements, and you see anything there that our listeners here in the Waterloo region would be interested, whether you're a farm or not farm, or just interesting?
Yeah, just interesting. January 21st is the annual Farm Smart Conference in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a number of times. Great information. And just go on the University of Guelph website and type in Farm Smart. January 26th to the 29th is the Guelph Organic Conference. And their title is Seeds of Cooperation. It's a 4-day event, includes international speakers, seminars, and intro workshops on key topics. And you can go on the University of Guelph Organic Conference.ca for information as well, too. And something else I found here interesting is February 7th and 8th is the Canadian Food Summit 2012 at the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
Hmm.
And from that, and some of the things I learned about that is, yep, somebody asked me about it, and that asked me if I was going. And so I thought, well, I didn't know anything about it. So I thought, well, I'll go look it up. So it's a bunch of professionals basically talking about food and local food, and I don't think there's one farmer there, which is kind of interesting. So there's lots of people sitting at a desk telling farmers how to run their operations.
I get what you're saying there, Trev. It's also true that the actual farmers in the population are 1.5% or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see how you could get everybody out there. But I get the irony of it.
It's because it was quite interesting.
Just getting back to that story that was in the record there last week, there's 3,500 people in the Waterloo region who are involved with primary agriculture.
Yeah.
And our listeners, this is some minutiae about the agriculture scene. When we talk about agriculture, I think most people are combining four parts, which is, research and development, like we have it big time here with the University of Guelph and University of Waterloo. That's research,
yep,
and development. The Consul College with their food services,
yep,
thing. They're talking about processing,
mm-hmm,
which includes things like Dover flour mills. And I think there's 100 processing plants for food in the region.
Yes.
And in those sectors, they're just zooming right along there. And the last would be, distribution channels. So that's, mm-hmm, over there on by Sports World there, the distribution center by Loblaws.
Remember Loblaws, yep. There's Don's Produce that is a wholesaler as well, too, and they'll distribute to the universities, to restaurants in the region.
Yeah.
And they do buy some stuff from local farms and distribute that out when those restaurants and universities and nursing homes and all, mm-hmm, that require local food. There's a great avenue for that.
And so the last leg of this duel of agriculture is the primary producer, which is, mm-hmm, us at 3,500 persons. So the good news is we have a very strong agricultural under that umbrella, agriculture industry in the Wardley region, processing, distribution, sales, food preparation, restaurants, you name it. Now, our discussion here, of course, is mostly about the primary producer. And as we talked already, it's about things like buy local, buy fresh. It's also about those other details about, you know, business risk management programs, farm succession type things.
That's right.
Regulatory reform, lots of farms. And there's another whole topic, isn't it? All the difficulty of having your own farm market.
Yep.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And lots of regulations. And, you know, the Township of Woolwich was enormously big in implementing an on-farm bylaw, on-farm sale bylaw, which has been, you know, adopted by other townships across the province as well, too. And that's something that FoodLink worked on and the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture was involved with as well, too.
Okay, so is that their economic development committee?
It's part of it. Part of it, yeah.
Okay, because I remember Mark going up to that.
Yes, yeah, okay. Mark was on the board with me as well, too.
And so when I just get me up to speed as well. So that resulted in some regulatory reform in terms of
allowing farms to sell their products.
Okay.
You know, have farm gate sales, whether they wanted to build a market, which some of the people in the community, you know, very much benefited from. You know, a couple of farm markets went up. Stuart Horse was one of them, north of Elmira. There's Jesse Gingrich, who is west in Westmount Rose. You know, and then Mark and Cindy Gerber, who run Oak Ridge Acres there in Ayr, and that wanted to build a market and went to their township. And they said, township said no, and they knew that we were working on this thing with Woolwich. And they presented the document to North Dumfries, and they adopted it right away.
Okay.
Thought it was just a great document. So, hey, you know, we're all working together.
There's so much cutting-edge stuff going on here.
It's great.
Was there any other announcements you saw on that piece of paper there? We kind of got off track. Is there anything that other farmers here, anything that caught your eye? I really appreciate you saw that thing in there.
Well, I know the big thing that's coming up is in February 23rd is the Ontario Fruit and Vegetable Convention in Niagara Falls this year. And this is a big convention for us as a family and for anybody who has an on-farm market. And I'm speaking in two different sessions on that one, on how social media and technology and using your BlackBerry.
Well, you know, folks, just to tell you, we're doing our show here, and it's all going along just wonderfully, and every once in a while, Trevor's down there twiddling away with his BlackBerry, and so he's apparently put on his Twitter account where this is on the internet. This is 100.3 Sound FM broadcast. It is soundfm.ca on the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is how it's done, folks, the modern way of getting message out there is, from people who are actually in the business, as Trevor is, and people who want to follow him talking about food and the issues in agriculture. So if you are listening to Trevor on Twitter, you can give him a Twitter back.
That's
a Twitter,
right.
A Twatter back.
Tweet.
Tweet. You can tell I'm not quite into that yet.
It's all right.
Yeah. I find enough just running the dials and gears in this thing. Never, all these laptops running around here. So, okay, folks. I think what we'll do, we're getting to the last 15 minutes of our show. Let's do a quick roundup at the end of it. But let's play a tune right now. So I think we're going to try again this here Fats Waller tune that's I'm going to play. I think it's a lot of fun. Let's give this a go. See you in a bit. Actually, that's not going to work at all. I got to try something else here. This is terrible.
I don't sing, just so you know.
Yeah, let's try this guy here.
I'm looking for that place they call the Chicken Shack. They say it's fine as wine and it's really on a ball. No windows, no doors, it's just a hole in the wall. located down by the creek, where you can get a whole gob of good things to eat. All good parts of the chicken, once more, is a cinch. You can even get the last part that went over the fence. Yes, this is the place where all the bad cats meet. You better be mighty careful where you take a seat. Mighty careful, let's have a ball. Come on, all you fellas, and take a drink for my pack, cause the party's ready to start down at the Chicken Shack.
Okay, that's Amos Milburn. That's his song called The Chicken Shack Boogie.
I have chickens. I boogie all the time with them.
You know, it's funny you should say that. Actually, my significant other and I, we got chickens this year, and a lovely collection of three different breeds, 12 mm-hmm. birds, and they're starting to lay, and we hope to market some of these eggs. And, you know, there's two parts to being a farm. One is it's a business and you do it, mm-hmm. but it's also there is enjoyment in the nurturing of life, growing things, and the other species that inhabit our planet with us, and that's very core to farmers. And,
yeah.
and I think you probably look out on a stormy night and worry as much as the next person about how this is going to affect the plants, not only because it's your financial thing, but because
yeah.
you have a connection to you wouldn't do, no one can make you farm.
No,
right?
That's right. We do it because we want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that's one of the other aspects of farming. So, what kind of chickens you got there?
Probably same as you. I don't know. We just get every couple of years, and then we get what's called a barnyard mix.
Yeah.
And so we have a bunch of different breeds in there.
Well, we probably get the same thing.
Yeah. yeah. And we had last year we had 12 of them, and then we grew them up from chicks.
Yeah.
And then they started out and all of a sudden, one turned into a rooster that we found out. So he made it into soup pretty quickly, and then this past batch and that we ended up getting 25, and one turned out to be a rooster again. And you know, as we raised them, and so yeah, he turned into soup too, because otherwise he got a little scary when the kids would go in there and collect eggs and that.
Yeah.
But no, they've been pretty good. It's been about 24, 25 egg or. 23, 24 eggs a day out of those chickens and that, which is great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you've, got a place to send all those eggs to, because that's a lot of eggs. That's 2 dozen a day.
It is a lot of eggs.
It adds up. And
I know we eat so many eggs, but there's mm-hmm. nothing like a fresh egg.
Yeah.
I mean, the color, the yolk, and the taste is so much more different than what you can get. No offense to the chicken farmers out there.
No.
The egg producers. We'll be careful with that.
They have an excellent product.
Yes.
You know, it is what it is. It's a great value at the price you pay. The productivity in agriculture is crazy. I know I was going to bring them on tonight, but as you know, this is about corn yields. They've gone up over the years. And I think since the 1940s or 50s, we produced the same amount of corn on the third of the acreage or something. Because the average mm-hmm. went from 40 to 50 bushel a year to 140 now, almost 200.
Yeah.
This will be there's just huge productivity gains, makes the food cheaper, and it's grown to our standards here in Ontario or international standards. I mean, there's some big debate about that, and that's certainly fodder for another show. that the intricacies and in detail of food grading and so on. Mm-hmm. But you know, in Canada, we have safe food.
We do have very safe food
and cheap, yep. Inexpensive, yep. And good quality. So, yeah. So no, that's good. Was there anything else in there you saw? I'm just kind of searching around for stuff to look at here, and I'm just looking through some of the minutes from our last Federation meeting. And
well, you go ahead there.
Well, I there's something here that's kind of dear and close to my heart was. Mm-hmm. The Junior Farmer Association, and we had that here for many years. And in fact, we just had a little reunion with a bunch of us from way back there that enjoy each other's company and get together on a regular basis. And so, unfortunately, the clubs don't always last forever. There's some clubs. The gist of the story is that there's a young chap by the name of Barclay Knapp, and he wishes that we would. He is supporting reestablishment of a Waterloo Junior Farmer Club.
Hmm.
And Waterloo Junior, the Junior Farmers is ages from 16 to 26 or thereabouts, and not so much project oriented like 4-H, but mm-hmm. social, but they do a lot of different projects. So the point, last month, Barclay came to our meeting and spoke about Junior Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
He invited us to a inaugural meeting. It was held December 29th, where they were electing, I believe, their first executive and the first few programs. And he's just looking for past alumni and, you know, the support of the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture for this thing. So I just want to mention to our listeners and that the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture very much involved with the every ton of corn and how many pounds of beef, but we are very, very involved and concerned and interested in the community, the agricultural community. Are the schools going to be open? Do we have libraries, healthcare, and the social type, and those types of, like junior farmers, social functions, groups that fulfill the need of our group?
Yeah. I mean, junior farmers is big when I was dating my wife. And
yeah.
I mean, I knew nothing about junior farmers.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned how to dance.
Yeah. I think the phone's ringing.
The phone's ringing. Maybe it's important.
I don't. It does that from time to time. Looks like it's quit.
There you go.
Otherwise, we'll go to a song. I'm still going to use how to run this place. Oh, my goodness. So we, as I mentioned, are going to meet with our various MPPs in the next next 2 months before spring comes. There's, I know Mark, I wish he was in a sense, but here we're trying something a little different than usual, without giving away the whole thing. We're interested in water conservation and keeping the water clean, and we have ways to do that in our business, best management practices, best management practice, that sort of thing. Where we're finding an interesting issue come up with the city of Kitchener and also now, of course, the city of Waterloo and probably Cambridge, want to put in a wastewater bylaw. That's the wrong word. It's runoff water. Because those cities have to build those infrastructures to make sure that settling ponds,
mm-hmm.
that the streams don't overflow, that sewers don't back up with too much flow. And so it has been incumbent on property owners in the cities to pay an extra fee that goes towards these kinds of projects. So from our interest as a federation is, what about our farmers out in the countryside? You know, they're probably part of the solution because their surface area is still impervious, whereas the impervious areas in town, which is 50% of the land area, that instantly flushes away into the rivers and streams, and it's not thought to be long-term a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark is going to present some stuff to various councils, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we actually solve that problem. And you know, we can't rescind the bylaw, but we're looking at ways that the good works of landowners in this case, at this moment, the rural areas that are left of the cities, how they are not part of the problem. And what kind of appropriate legislative or bylaw type rules can be done there.
Yeah, and I mean, we've worked very closely with the Grand River Conservation Authority and the Ontario Soil and Crop Association with our environmental farm plan,
mm-hmm.
you know, creating buffers around our ponds, our wetlands, and protecting those, you know, on our properties,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, very, very important. Very, very important, because that water, you know, we use to irrigate on our crops.
Yep.
Yeah. So we have to protect it.
So we're just about top of the hour here. Trevor, yeah. Anything else you want to throw in here? I want to thank you again for showing up. This is great.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We're just plugging away. This is our winter. This is our time off. This is our time to you know, give back to the community of, you know, so much of what they give back to us during our busy season. So we try and keep busy that way and connecting with people and getting the message of, you know, supporting your local farm out there.
I didn't have any skiddy in my farm pond this year. Have you had any yet?
Not yet. No. Not yet.
Last year I had to take a chainsaw through the thing because it's so thick.
Yeah, we were skating on ours last year. This year we could probably go swimming. So.
Well, there was a picture to catch a wreck or some guy canoeing down the Grand there a week or two ago or something. Yeah.
I know it's open. Half our pond's open, so we could... Yeah, we'd still go fishing.
It looks like that's going to change after this is Thursday, January 12th, and it looks like winter is finally going to stick its head in the door here, coming hopefully up with a snowstorm tomorrow and cooler temperatures. Yeah. So we're okay, folks. Thanks again, Trev.
Thank you.
And folks, you're at 100.3 Sound FM. This is CKMS Radio, and you've been listening to The Agriculture Show. This is your host, Jeff Steger, and with this guest today, Trevor Hurley. Okay, folks, keep eating. Happy, happy, happy. See you later.
But we never cry. No goodbyes, no goodbyes. We never cry. Red sky at night, cold light at dawn, will still burn bright when I am gone. And as I